take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning. If time permits, you can text into the program 251-343-0106. I'll do my best to get to whatever it is that is on your mind. Joining us now, we do this every Tuesday about this time, and it's always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. He is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Thanks for coming on. Well, how you feel? It does seem like things are trending in Trump's direction, and I'm out on a limb on this one. It's not so much that I think that Trump is this just unbeatable, juggernaut. I think he's very beatable, but it's not going to be by Kamala Harris.
Well, look, it's interesting. We're 1 week out from the election today. And in the presidential politics, 1 week is an eternity. So there's a lot that can still happen. There's a lot of movement that I'm sure we will see. But we've gotten a pretty good consistency in all seven of the swing states. You know, the numbers have kind of dialed in. And the remarkable thing about where Trump is over the last week and a half is that in all seven states, he is now in the lead. First time in the entire campaign. He's also trending upward in all seven states. That's exactly where you want to be a week out. And as I've been talking to, different media sources around the country, I've actually been on the trail with Trump the last few days. I've been at Madison Square Garden for the rally up in New York City and then in Atlanta last night. One thing seems pretty consistent, and that's that there are several paths to victory for Donald Trump. He doesn't have to win everything. He can lose Pennsylvania, but if he picks up Michigan, that replaces it. He can lose North Carolina to pick up Nevada and Arizona. So he has several different paths with the seven states to play. Kamala Harris really doesn't. And I think that's the key. It's got to be a perfect storm for her, but Donald Trump has multiple paths to victory on November 5th.
Well, and I keep saying this, I watched the Harris campaign as it unfolds, and it's a playbook of kind of gimmicky plays, Nazis or something a comedian said 2 hours before Trump spoke, or whatever. It's just, this is what they're choosing to try. It looks like this, Chairman. They're really, really trying hard to excite the base. But, I mean, here on October 29th, if you're still trying to get your base engaged in a general election that's a week away, that's a problem. And, in the base, when I say doing Detroit, doing all these different things that are geared toward your voter and not necessarily the squishy middle, they don't think that they got it.
No, look, absolutely not. And let's be clear. The Democrats don't have any actual issues to run on. Look, they failed with the border. They have failed with our economy. They failed with foreign policy. We know it. The American people know it. These are failed policies. And if they're failing, and then you have their hot button issues that they tried to turn into something that would actually sway the American public, like the abortion issue, or, whatever else they make. Literally, that's the only issue I can think of that they actually have that might be getting them some votes, right? Like, they have nothing today. They tried to use January 6th. It didn't work. They can't use issues like protecting transgender rights because that's unpopular with the American public. Their policies are so far left, they can't run on what they actually believe in. So all that's left is attacking people on their personal, their personalities or comments they made or throwing personal insults, like calling somebody a Nazi. And I want to say this, and I wish the mainstream media would really pick up on this. It is not okay for respectful political dialogue, for respectful political debate, to call the other side Nazis. That's exactly the kind of hatred and the kind of demonization that's caused to attempt the president. no one can think that he is honestly comparable with Nazis with enough to work. That is insulting. It's disrespectful to the American public. It is out of line politically. And I think the Democrats should be called out both. Also by the media. The media needs to keep this in check. If Republicans were going around calling Kamala Harris a Nazi or saying she's like Adolf Hitler, the press would be calling that disrespectful, and I want to see them hold Kamala Harris to the same standard they would hold Republicans.
Yeah, well, this not going to happen, but it reeks of desperation, Chairman. And the more you watch it, the more desperate it seems. And I think it's only going to get a little bumpier between now and next Tuesday. But I mean, what are they going to throw at him? And like I said, they're out of things.
There cannot be an October surprise for Donald Trump.
You've already played the Nazi card. Yeah. You've already played the Hitler card. What's worse than Hitler? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, what I love about this is I think as the mainstream media and as the Democrat Party get more and more desperate and more outlandish, whether it's weaponizing the justice system or the FBI or using the power of government to go after their opponents, the media is so biased, so obviously biased, whether that's the debate for, you know, the debate moderation or the reporting, the American people are seeing through it. And, you know, even most Democrats, but for sure most independents, when you poll them and ask, you know, are they seen by Trump's indictment? Are they politically motivated? Their answer is yes. They know, even if they agree with it, they know what's going on. They know that this is an unfair playing field. They know there's double standards. And that is coming back to bite the Democrat Party that needs to be, because people have lost faith in them actually being honest for being able to report in a fair and unbiased manner.
We're joined by Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, here on the program. CD2, Chairman, let's talk about that just a little bit. I feel better about this. It was what, drawn as a +3, and the polling never had +3. It was always like, and you know, they were left-leaning polls very, very early, like +10, 11, or whatever, double digits. And then there was a Montgomery Research poll that showed it, you know, nearing the margin of error, but I still think, number one, I don't think the pollsters, you know, it's an inexact science, and you know that as well as anybody, but I you know, modeling this and figuring out turnout and where people are going to show up and where they're not going to show up in a brand new congressional district, I don't think they have the science nailed down. And the polling to me, I won't say it's flimsy, but I'll say, I think there's a lot of work. You need a couple of runs at this before you can really feel good about the results you get. And then all that to build up to say this, look at AL1 and the polling there. It went for Barry Moore. Everybody knew it was going to go for Jerry Carl, but it didn't.
No, look, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you brought up turnout. This race is going to come down to turnout. And I believe that, you know, some of the polls are more intellectually honest than others. There are definitely pollsters who put a left spin or a negative spin, especially in general elections. You have to remember, pollsters are making the call on what they think turnout is going to be. And they have to weight it based on that assumption. And so in general elections, that makes it very difficult. I shouldn't say necessarily difficult. It's difficult to predict, but it makes it a wide range of pollsters that have a very wide range of numbers, because of how they decide who's going to turn out. Now, that being said, that's why it's so important that every single one of your listeners goes vote on election day, especially if you live in CD2. Like, this will be decided by turnout. There are enough Republicans in that district, and there are enough Democrats in that district to win that congressional seat. And it really matters who has higher turnout on election day. And that's going to play a major role here. But this is not a race we can sugarcoat. We know, you know, I've been very consistent on this message for the entire time. We know that that federal court designed this district to be a Democrat district. 16 out of the last 17 races that covered that area went Democrat. But one did not. Yeah, one went Republican. And that means that it's possible. This is a district we can win. But if we do, it's going to be because Republicans get out and vote and they make it a priority
What do you think the disconnect is with Republican primary voters and Republican general election voters? I think this is true. It's probably true on the Democrat side as well. But there's a discrepancy there. I mean, it's just generally speaking, people show up for presidential elections. But as a whole, trying to say the turnout for the Democrat versus Republican primary in that district, that was a feather in Democrats' cap. It showed that they had an advantage. But I think the Republican voters are more prone to sit out primaries than Democrat voters.
No, I would definitely agree with that, especially in Alabama, where we're such a red state that people don't get involved in the political process early on because they trust the process, right? They trust the party to only qualify candidates who actually look at Republican principles. That's something I know I take very seriously as party chairman. We don't want Democrats just going on our ballot. I think that's the question. We know that Democrat voters are not excited about the policies coming out of the Biden-Harris administration. We know that the values of the National Democrat Party are not exciting Alabama Democrat voters. Especially down in CDC, you've got a lot of minorities in rural areas who are, their communities are centered around faith, they're centered around family values. They don't like this stuff coming out of the current Democrat Party. And so the question really becomes, can Shamari Biggers, in the local Democrat Party, and Shamari Biggers is going to pull those people out? Because I don't think the national level is going to pull them out. And so the big question mark, we got to wait and see, but this is going to be an interesting race to watch on election night.
Well, and let's talk about Democrat turnout. Now, it's not the same AL2, CD2 that it was when Obama ran, and, Bobby Bright won that seat once before. But look at that. Look at that district. And I don't think Harris has the coattails. I wonder if they are some of these prognosticators and even the people who drew the lines look at it like, well, this is where we'll show up. And, we look at the presidential elections, the last three or four, there's going to be turnout problems here. I don't know. I just, if it's true in the rest of the country and you see it, why wouldn't it apply to CD2?
No, that's exactly right. And I think that's what I was saying. Like, there is a lack of excitement for the National Democrat Party. Now there was more with Joe Biden on top of it. I think the Democrats making that switch out has helped the next Democrat chances in CD2. But there continues to be this lack of excitement because, it's like we were talking about earlier, the Democrat Party has failed the people of the district. They're struggling to pay for food. They're struggling to pay for their rent. And these are issues that are affecting them directly. And when they look at the leadership that has put them in this position, these Democrat leadership, whether that's on the local level there in CD2 or at the national level with the Biden-Harris district. So that's what gives the Republican Party a chance. It's just how bad Democrat leadership has been for the people of the district. They really have failed them in every area. And I think that's what we need to be talking about. And if the voters realize that, I think we have a chance on November 5th.
What do you think, just kind of looking at the two campaigns and maybe Shamari Biggers is targeting his voters and wouldn't be one of his voters. And I don't live in CD2, I live in CD1, but I'm close enough to that market. It just doesn't, you see it around Mobile proper, but I see way more kind of Dobson out in the ether. I mean, they've out fundraised her. They have, it seems like, a lot of resources, but I don't really sense it on the ground. Some other candidates in the past, certainly like a Doug Jones or whatever, when he ran in 17.
No, that's right. I would say the same thing. I've actually been a little bit surprised. It almost seemed like Shamari Biggers had a better operation in the primary and the runoff than he has in the general election. And I don't know if that's because they're overconfident or because they're having trouble finding the support. Um, But I think it definitely goes to a lack of excitement with the Democrat base. And that's incredibly important heading into an election that would be decided by turnout. So, you know, my call to action for Republicans across CDQ is see that lack of enthusiasm on the other side and don't let it be you. Don't let it be the Republicans in District U. Get out, make sure you vote, but don't just make sure you vote. Remind your friends and family. Like, you know, it's always sad to me when I see results on election day. You might have, you know, 65-70% turnout. Well, that means 30%, almost a third of the entire population don't take the time to go vote, don't let their voice be heard. And so don't underestimate that. You know, statistically, it's up to 3 out of 10 people you know will not vote on election day. And remind them, call them, make sure they get out to vote. If they're Republicans, if you know they're going to vote the right way, remind them to vote, get them out, because every vote's going to matter in this critical election.
Chairman, folks in these waning days are interested in what the Alabama Republican Party is up to or any of its affiliated county parties. How can they do so?
Well, we love to stay in touch with folks. Always on social media. We're at Alabama Republican Party. And then, of course, on our website, they can sign up for our newsletters or for updates, algop.org.
Chairman, best of luck to you in your travels in these last few days, and we'll talk again soon.
Oh, sounds good. Good to be on the show.
All right, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Got a whole lot of cares in the redneck Riviera. It's getting crazy. I'm getting hammered, sitting right here at the floor of Bama.